Christmas really is a celebration of a gift, the greatest gift. But we still celebrate with gift exchanges. And so in my house, we do the same thing as probably you do in your home. In fact, some of my family are here tonight, my siblings. And when this is all done, we're going to meet and exchange gifts to the 7,500 children that keep propping up every year. We look around, we're like, wow, it's more expensive. So, we're so thankful to be able to have these times, and in doing so, pass those gifts along. And part of those that gift giving is similar to what we saw in the Bible, that the wise men came and they brought gifts when they were in the presence of a king. And so part of that heritage is still alive and well, even in the secular side of our holiday today. But in doing all that and saying all that, I don't know about you, but in my household, gift giving can be a little different. I am a person who goes straight from the gut, and I kind of just go with whatever I feel. My wife is a person who goes by the list. How many list makers do we have in the room? I'm a list maker. I make lists. I check them twice, right? I'm just like Santa. So how many of you are more like me? You're like, man, I just go with my gut. I just get what I want, walk through the store, good. How many of you are like, I am not participating in a raise your hand tonight? Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. But here's the deal. So gift giving. So my wife, here's how we've kind of solved it in recent years. Because we used to run into lots of arguments around Christmas and what's happening, what's going on. And so here's how we've kind of settled in on things lately. And I don't know, it might change. But this is how we did it. So I said, babe, you go ahead and just, you make the list. And you get the gifts. And so she goes and she makes the list and she gets the gifts. And then she shows me what's there under the tree. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty paltry, babe. You could have done better. No, just joking. She goes and she's like, Tali, they've got what they need. Everything's good. And I'm like, yeah, I know it's good, but now I just kind of want to, can I do something? And she's like, yes, but don't spend too much. And I'm like, wink, wink, we're good, babe. So we go out. And I decided to take my son, Caleb, who you just saw, I decided to take him with me. And so we're out doing kind of the finishing touches on the different shopping that we need to do. And the whole time I told him, I said, son, do not ask me for anything. Not a thing, son. Do you understand? Yes, sir, I understand. All right, son. So as we're walking through, I'll notice that he's kind of eyeing something up. He's looking, leaning towards the digital side. I'm like, we're not going to the digital. We're not going to cameras. No. We're not. And I'll just give him a look. And then he's fine. A little while later, he starts to veer off, and I just look his way. And he veers back. Everything's good. And then we get towards the counter. Now, this has been, we were in and out in half an hour because I'm just pro like that. I'm a dude. Dudes, we hunt, right? We don't shop. We hunt. You go in, you kill it, you bring it home. So anyway, so we were out there, and we're getting towards the checkout now, and I hear my son Caleb. He says, I could get, and I looked at him so sharp. I said, you can get what, son? A job, Dad, a job. I was just saying I could get a job. No lie, I promise that just happened to us here this week. And I said, yes, you can. You can get a job. Then you can get whatever you want for Christmas. But listen, today we are celebrating that greatest gift, and my job is just to remind you, to be an encouragement to you about who that greatest gift is. We've been going through a series here at the church for the last 4 weeks where we've talked about the attributes of who Jesus is. And really, here's the story. For those of you that have been in church a while, it might be a refresher. It might just be a reminder. And for that, I'm glad. I hope that that's true. For those of you that might have been forced to do this, like your family was like, we're going to church on Christmas. Now, don't raise your hand, but you can give them a little nudge. You could be like, yeah, you suckered me into this. But anyhow, so you might be here because it's like you had to go to church. That's what we're going to do at Christmas Eve. And I'm glad you're here. But for all of us, there are some truths about Christmas. There's some truths about who Jesus is that I pray that tonight you walk out of here having them rest in your soul. I pray that no matter how tomorrow is, no matter how many gifts or how few, no matter how much food or how little, no matter what you go through in the next 24, 48 hours, my prayer is that you'd be encouraged by knowing what we're celebrating here at Christmas. I'm going to be reading tonight from John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And in that, word and flesh appearing is what was in that last song. Word and flesh appearing. And this is where it comes from. John chapter 1, it says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now, I grew up in O'Donnell Heights, the projects, so when I read that, I read, "In the beginning was Word." So, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was God. He was in the beginning with God. This is the Word of God was with God. Verse 3, "All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, this is what we believe as Christ followers, as Christians. Why are there churches everywhere? There are churches everywhere because people are trying to bring the light everywhere, trying to bring life everywhere. And so when we think about what is the history, what is the point of Christianity, we genuinely believe that the Word of God has come to us. Now, here's the thing. I'm not getting in a debate tonight. If you want to believe that you are nothing more than snot that was electrocuted billions of years ago and somehow you're here, cool. I'm not going to argue with you. You might be, right? But for the rest of us, we believe that there is a God who knows you intimately, who knows your story, knows your name, knows the number of hair on your head, knows the extent of your life, knows exactly what you're going through at the moment you're going through it, knows your passions and heart's cry even before you can express it. We believe there's a God who knows you intimately. And we believe that your life has a lot more purpose than the bank account or the house or what kind of car you drive. We believe your life has inherent value because you are made in the image of God. That's what we believe about you. I don't have to know you to respect you and love you and honor you because you're made in the image of the God that I worship. Amen? And so we believe this about who you are. We believe this about the God that made you. You're not an accident. Your parents might not have planned your birth, but I promise this, God was not surprised by you being here. You are not an accident. You are a child of God. You were designed by God, and the Word of God is talking about the birth of the Word coming into this world. But look who Jesus is, the light that shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Listen, if you're jotting notes, at Christmas, we're welcoming the King of Life. At Christmas, we welcome the King of Life. You see, we're celebrating the life giver. This actually, Christmas is the giving of life to the life giver. So it's a powerful statement to say that there is a God that gives all things life. And that what happened at Christmas is He looked down and He saw a broken world. And instead of a God who just looks at a broken world and says, "I give up on you, I'm done with you, I walk away from you, you failed me too many times." You see, there's a lot of people in life that feel like God's that way because maybe their grandfather was that way. Maybe their father was that way. And so they believe that God must be that kind of father. Let me tell you something. God looked down on earth and He saw men in its broken condition and He said, no, I'm not going to run away from them. I'm going to step closer. And so He brings life. We can only give life because Jesus has first given life to us. The child that was born that day is the creator and sustainer of all life. He stepped into that which He had created, and that's why we call Him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We don't celebrate a distant God. We don't celebrate a God who's a cosmic killjoy. We celebrate a God who has come close to the broken, close to the brokenhearted. Some of you this year, you lost somebody you love. And I want to tell you, the Bible tells us that God is near the brokenhearted. In those times that you feel like that all the air has been deflated out of you, I want to tell you the message of the gospel is that God comes close to the brokenhearted. Some of you, this might have been your biggest failure of a year. You cannot wait till 2018 comes because you just want 2017 to be in your rear view. Let me tell you, if this was the worst year that you ever had, God is close to the brokenhearted. He welcomes you home. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And I want you to understand that is who we're worshiping. That is who we're celebrating. A God who loves you. A God who knows you. A God who wants a relationship with you. He is the giver of all life. And He wants to bring new life to you. Amen. My only rule on clapping is that we should do it a lot. And if you're going to do it, it's not golf. You've got to clap. All right. Verse 6. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He comes as a witness to bear witness about this light, that all men might believe through Him. He was not the light, but He came to bear witness about the light. Verse 9, The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This was Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came into his own. He came into his own people, and they didn't receive him. How many of you know what it feels like to have the last place to receive you be the ones that know you most? How many of you believe, man, if I have this new ambition, if I try this new thing, man, all the people that are going to rally are going to be the people that know me most. But the Bible says that, no. God's story is that Jesus came into the world and it was the ones who know him most who didn't even want him around. So you might be able to relate to the God of the Bible. Verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right. Look at that. He gave the right. Can you say he gave the right? He gave the right. He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, God's choice. At Christmas, we welcome the King of Heaven, not only the King of all life, but we welcome the King of Heaven. You might be sitting here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know much about this religious stuff, this church stuff. I'm just here. My family wanted me here. And I say, welcome. But let me tell you something. Who we welcome at Christmas time, this Jesus who was born, he is not only the King of all life, he is the King of heaven. And you know how you get to heaven? It is not by your family. Look what it says. It says it's not by blood. You know what this means? This means it doesn't matter if your grandfather or your great-grandfather was a Christian. It doesn't matter if grandmom or great-grandmom was a Christian. That doesn't do anything for you. And there are a lot of people that go through life saying, oh, well, I must be because my family is. The Bible's very, very clear, friend, that we are not born, not of blood, nor of the will, meaning that you and I can't just wish it on for somebody else. I could will, I could want, I could wish that everybody in here would get to know the God that made them. I can't will that for you. There's a lot of times as a pastor, my heart breaks for people because by the time they come to me, life is really messed up. And so by the time they come to me, I found that unfortunately sometimes I want for people more than they want for themselves. And the Bible says, how is heaven? It is not about the will. I can't will it for you. But look what it says. It's not by the blood, not by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's by God's will. Heaven's entry is not by the birth. It's not nepotism. It's not like my whole family gets in just because I'm a pastor. It's not how it works. It's not my family gets in because great-grandparents were Christians. It's not how it works. It's not even that I get in because my wife is a Christian and I'm just going to church with her. That's not how it works. How salvation works is that we believe something about this Jesus. Verse 12 said, for all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You say, how in the world can I know for sure, for certain, forever that I'm right with God? It's the scripture says, believe in his name, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Where do you stand today, my friends, at Christmas in believing in the name of Jesus? Heaven's entry is by believing in and believing on Jesus. It is God who gives you the right to become his child. All across this room tonight, you come and you say, what is Christmas? Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. It's about God stepping into earth. The sinful, broken creation that he made, he stepped in and got closer. He didn't run away. And he came in to get closer to every person that would be willing to get close to him. And it's not about the will of man. It's not about the family heritage. It's not about how many days you go to church, how much money you give to a church, how often you serve, whether or not you rock a tie or not. And I only do it a couple times a year, weddings, funerals, and Christmas Eve, chill. So it's not about all that. Heaven is simply about the question and the answer. Who do you say Jesus is? The Bible declares that who was born that day 2,000 years ago was the son of a carpenter and a teenage girl that was given life by the Spirit of God. His name was Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He voluntarily got up. And when you read the story of his life, you guys would love him. Because he looked at the religious leaders who were bigots and mean-spirited and ugly. And he looked at them and he said, get out of here. And he called them names like brood of vipers. Now, if I would translate that into today's modern English, you all would say, Pastor, there are children around. But I could say brood of vipers and it's not a big deal to you, go look it up. Then you'll be like, there's children around. But that's what he left for the religious bigots. What he left for everybody else, the ones who were broken, the ones, the prostitutes, the ones who were addicted to substance, those people, all the people that were hurting, the people that were wanting more. You know what he did? He came closer. And today, this Christmas Eve, we welcome the King of Heaven, and we're celebrating the fact that the King of Heaven came closer. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know what your story is. I don't pretend to know. I don't pretend that anybody in this room, not a one person in this room, has it all together. And I could say that with a lot of confidence because I don't have it all together. But what I do know is that I serve a God who came closer. And the only requirement for heaven is not by my lineage. It's not by how well behaved I've been. It is about what will I do with His Son, Jesus. And I pray today that you will receive Jesus, if you haven't already, or if you have received Him, maybe today you would say, you know what, this Christmas I'm upping my efforts. I'm renewing my efforts. I'm going to make Jesus the primary role that He needs to be in my life in 2018. You can start next Sunday, even though it's technically 2017. We'll let you slide in the church. How about that? Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. This is what we're celebrating. And dwelt among us. This is who Jesus is. This is who God is in your life. And we have seen His glory, the glory that's the Son from the Father, full of grace. This is Jesus, full of grace, full of truth. John bore witness about Him and he cried out, this is the one who I said He comes after. He ranks before me because He was before me. Verse 16, for from His fullness we have all received. Look at this, church. Grace upon grace. Can you say that with me? Grace upon grace. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my background. I used to mess around and sleep around and do some stuff I shouldn't be. Guess what He gives you, church? Grace upon grace. And you say, no, Pastor, you don't understand. Like, I'm on my second marriage. I'm on my third divorce. I'm on my, if you do that, I don't know how you work that out. But I've got a lot going on, Pastor. You know what He offers you tonight? Grace upon grace. This is who the Lord is. This is why Christians come into church. They don't come to church because they think they have it together. Now, if they do, send them to their pastor. Or if they do in here, you can send them to me. I'll deal with it. But we don't have it all. What we do is we have grace upon grace. The grace when I fall short. The grace when I snap at my children. The grace when I'm not the husband that I need to be. The grace when I haven't loved it like I needed to love. The grace when I haven't forgiven what I needed to forgive. The grace when I haven't given to someone in need. The grace upon grace upon grace. He makes up for the gap. Some of you in this room, you say, Pastor, I just don't do the church thing. I don't do the God thing because there's such a gap between me and God. There's such a gap between where I am and where I think I should be. Let me tell you, He fills in that gap with grace upon grace. And so you celebrate Jesus today. You celebrate who He is for you. The Bible says, for His fullness we've received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. You see, here's what I got to tell you real quick. The law was the whole of the Old Testament is all an example about the law. And this is why some people read the Old Testament and they go, man, God was angry. No. God didn't want to give them this law. God wanted to have a relationship with man personally forever. And in the Bible, it says in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 that God built this relationship with Adam and Eve where they were just in the garden hanging out, chilling. I mean, honestly, like Adam had it going. Adam had everything. He didn't have to do very much, just keep up with the garden and keep it beautiful. But here's the deal. And he had a wife that was made for him. She was walking around in her birthday suit. But it was all good. And they had to go and they sinned. And sin enters the world. And everything after that is the law. Because here's the thing. You don't really know if you're sinning unless you know what you can compare it to. The law. And so in the Old Testament, it's all an example of how men and women live when their lives are judged against the law. And you know what? It's not very good because we all fall short. So the Bible says that, you know what? That for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who's at the Father's right side. He has made Him known. Jesus has made God known. At Christmas, church, we welcome the King of grace. Grace is available to everybody in this room today. Grace is available for grace upon grace to fill in the gaps where you've fallen short. Maybe you say, I don't consider myself religious. Good, I don't want you to be religious. I do want you to have a relationship with the God that made you. I would not love you if I did not want that for you. And as you look around this room, I promise you, the people in front of you and behind you, they're not here because they've got life figured out. They're here because they know they need grace upon grace. And in this church, with Captivate Church, when you come to one of our campuses, you're going to be around a lot of people that you're not going to be very impressed by. Good. You should get afraid if you're always around people that impress you. Because we all need grace upon grace. We all need to fill that gap. But we can't fill the gap on our own. We're not strong enough, big enough, tall enough, smart enough, handsome enough, although I do get close. But we all have to have that gap filled. And how do you go to the end of your life not knowing if there's a God, not knowing God, or maybe you do know in your heart of hearts because the scripture that's written on your hearts reveals the fact that there's a God. Romans 1:20 says everybody's going to know and you're not going to have any excuse about whether or not you know there's a God. Romans 1:20. God's invisible qualities, His power, His divine nature are all revealed through His creation. And so whether or not you call Him Jesus, you've got to know that there's a God. And that God comes to you today on Christmas Eve 2017 and He says, listen, I am the God of life. I am the God of heaven. But I want you to know, most of all, I am the God of grace. And I don't know about you, church, but I need some grace as I get ready for my new year. I need some grace for my last 51 weeks. And I'm going to need some grace from today till I get to the new year. Amen? But all of us need grace when it comes to God. All of us need to acknowledge we're sinners. We believe Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sin. He paid that penalty for you so that God would never be mad at you again. Just think about that for a second. What Christians believe is that when Jesus died for them and God looked upon the Christian, God first sees His Son Jesus and He's not mad at you anymore. He's not angry with you anymore. He's not out to get you. He's not looking for problems. He's looking to lavish on His children grace upon grace. Will you fall short? Yes, you will. Will you not measure up? Maybe not to people that want to gossip, but in God's eyes, you never measured up to begin with. Salvation is not about what you can do for God. Salvation is about what God has already done for you. Some of us, amen. So some of us in this room, this Christmas Eve, the greatest gift you could ever receive. I told a story a few weeks ago at church that my daughter had an envelope with her name on it. When she went back and opened up the ornaments to start this year's decorations, she found this envelope. She opened it up and inside was a card from a friend. And that card, inside that card, was a $20 bill. My daughter spent an entire year living life having a gift. But she didn't open it. Some of you have the gift of Jesus already given to you, but pride and arrogance and thinking that you got it all together has kept you from just opening the gift of Jesus. But today is your day. Today you can make that all right. Today you can take grace upon grace. Today you can start all over and say, God, I didn't know You before tonight, but now I do. You're a God of grace. You're a God of mercy. You're the God of heaven. You're the God of light. You're the God of life, and I want a relationship with You. I want to tap into some of that. Some of you tap into alcohol or drugs. Some of you tap into pride. Some of you think if you get more money, it's all going to be better. If you have another woman, if you have another guy, some of you are trying to tap into all these things to feel good. And here is the God of all life who has come close to you in your brokenness. And He says, tap into Me because I'll give you nothing but grace upon grace upon grace. Amen. Thank you.